Open your Bibles with me this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Recognize that you are called in, you're in the process of being sanctified. Amen. Sanctified, and we're being set apart for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who God calls, he anoints, who God anoints, he appoints, amen, and he's appointed us all for such a time as now, amen, amen, his kingdom's about today, he's a now God, you know, I love it, as now he's able to do exceeding abundantly above what we ask or even think. We serve a great big God. And so many times we limit him with our thinking. And God wants us to expand the realm of our thinking when concerning the kingdom in his realm and the one that is in you and I. So with that in mind, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you were enriched in him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we're going to focus on verse number 8 today. Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the title of this morning's message, with the help of the Lord, is the G-Force. Now we know the G-Force, according to our natural minds, is a gravitational force, okay? But I'm going to talk to you this morning a little bit about the gospel force. It's the power of the gospel that saves you and I. It's that drawing of the Father, that the Father drew us to the Son through the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, Jesus said, no one comes to the Father but by the Son, and no one comes to the Son unless the Father draw them. And what we're speaking about today is there's three things I want to share out of this text today. I'm going to share the grace, the gift, and the guild. Okay? The grace, the gift, and the guild. Can we lift our word together and make a declaration here this morning? Repeat after me and say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word, and my life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Lord, speak to me, your servant. My ears are open, and my heart is attentive. Thank you, God, for choosing me in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, for your word. And we're grateful that you sent it here to accomplish what you sent it to this house to do. So, Lord, I pray that you speak through me, Father God. May the words that proceed out of my mouth bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to every hearer in the room. And when all is said and done and accomplished, you'll receive all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, because it's all about you. So have your way here in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. First, in verse number 4 of our text, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. He says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Now, so first we're going to look at the grace, the unmerited favor. The unmerited favor of God. We know in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace we are saved by faith. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works that God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Okay? So our salvation was by grace, but by grace we continue to move forward. Amen? In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the Word of God says this in verse number 9. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. The Apostle Paul says this to the church of Corinth. He says, for you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Amen? And in other words, we're blessed as children of God. He became poor so that we could become rich. He was rich. He was a king. He was in the throne of heaven. He became poor. He took on the form of a servant. He went to the cross. He became poor so you and I could have the riches of the grace that flows from the heaven. The riches that he's talking about isn't always wealth. The Bible says it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the gates of heaven because of the love of money, because the love of money is the root of all evil. Amen. So we're not talking about riches. We're talking about riches of wealth, health, well-being, peace, the fruit of the Spirit being evident in our lives. I'm an heir of the King. Amen. I'm an heir now, and I'm an heir in the future. Amen. And when I look at that, I see the kingdom all the time in visions and dreams. In other words, and it's a fabulous kingdom. It's a mighty kingdom. Amen. It's worth everything you may be going through. God says this, and you know, is anybody going through something in the room? Come on. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse number 9. The Apostle Paul says this, and Jesus said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Amen. In other words, Paul says, it doesn't matter what I go through, God's grace is sufficient. God's grace will carry me through. I don't know about you, but I want to learn really quick. I don't want to keep going through the same test until I get the right answer. Amen. Hey, Lord, help me to be a quick study. Amen. Help me to learn quickly. Amen. Because his grace is abounding. He says, no matter what comes my way, that he's going to carry me and he's going to see us through. Amen. So and sometimes we have to see past what we're going through. If we get our eyes on what we're going through, we'll have our focus more on the problem than the result. I think the Lord said here this morning, in this early morning service, I heard the Holy Spirit say this. He reminded us that God didn't deliver the Hebrew children out of the fiery furnace. He delivered them out of the fire in the furnace. God didn't deliver Daniel out of the lion's den. He delivered him from the lions that were in the den. Amen. In other words, they had to go through something. And as they went through something, God was there. Amen. God wants you to know his grace is pouring out to you and I. Amen. In abundance. So look with me in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 7. The word of God says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Amen. I'm thanking God for the gift of salvation, but I'm also giving God thanks for the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. Hello? Amen. And with the gifts of the Spirit, go back to our text of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 7. The apostle writing to the church, he's writing to the church of Corinth, and he expands on it in the opening. It goes to all churches. Who's the church? You and I. Greatest Feet of Ministries is just the building and where the church meets. We're the church. This is just a building. This is just a house, you and I. And he says in verse number 7, he says, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, God doesn't desire for us to allow our gifts to be laying dormant, unused. So with that in mind, look with me in Hebrews chapter 2. We're looking at the gift or the gifts. Hebrews chapter 2. Our faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, right? Amen. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Amen. God ministers to you and I through the word of God. And Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 1. The word of God says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Amen. In other words, what God has deposited in everyone in the room is for someone else. In other words, it isn't for you to be selfish for yourself. His gifts are given to you and I that we may share them with others. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 7, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, but the manifestation, what's in you, the gifts in you, of the Spirit are given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given the spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. Dividing to everyone. Amen. Look to the one next to you and say, I'm gifted by God. His gifts are in me. And I want to share the gifts in me with you. Amen. James 1, I love the way that this is written in James 1, verse 7, verse number 16. He says, Do not err, my beloved brethren. He says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. When God deposits one of these gifts in you, he deposits it in fullness. He's not a part God. You know, if he departs a gift in you, he gives you the whole thing. Now, well, why isn't the whole thing manifested? Because we don't have faith to believe the gift that we have to act upon it. In other words, as humans, we always doubt. We try to do everything by reason. That's why the Apostle Paul said the natural man doesn't understand the things of God. They are foolishness to him because they're spiritually discerned. Amen. But we have the Spirit and we have the mind of Christ. God says, hey, whatever these gifts he's put in you, he gave you a full deposit. Amen. And with that full deposit, he's looking for you and I by faith to activate. Amen. In other words, there's someone, there might be someone over here that's dying and you're over here, and God gave you a gift of healing, and you're over here looking at that, saying, that poor soul's over there dying. Oh, Lord, why don't you do something? Lord, why don't you touch him? Oh, why, Lord? And God says to you, why? I created you to work in and through you. In other words, God doesn't go around us. He works through us. Amen? So as he's looking at this, that by grace, we've got some mighty gifts. Amen? And he says in verse 18 of James 1, he said, of his own will beget he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Amen? And in other words, first fruits is producing. You know, if you bring in your first fruit, it's the first part of something that's been produced. Amen? And in other words, if you're going to bring in a tithe of your first fruits, you're bringing in the first portion of it. You're not bringing in the leftovers. God says, bring your very best. Give him your very best. Give him all that you've got. Amen. In other words, Lord, I recognize that gift to me. Lord, fan that gift. Let me operate. Let me move. Let me minister to a lost and dying world. Let me be someone that's as a vessel to help change the world that we're living in. Amen. You know that we're actually world changers? Hello? Hello? We can either allow the world to change us, or we can allow God through us to change the world. The choice is here. Amen? The choice is here. So not only by the grace he gave us the gifts, and the gift not only the salvation, but we're created in Christ Jesus of the good works that God before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen? But he's also brought us in a union together. And in 1 Corinthians, back to our text in 1 Corinthians 1, verse number 9, he says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I have here the guild, and you say, well, what do you mean, the guild? Well, the guild represents a group of people on a common course. Amen. We're on a common course. How many are heading to heaven in the room? Amen. We're heading to heaven. We're on a common course. And God has called us to be world changers for the kingdom of God. Amen. That we're doing this together. We're doing this with unity. You know, it's just like the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves as some has, as we see the day approaching, but have fellowship with one another. We're called to be in fellowship. So in Acts chapter 26, Jesus was speaking to the Apostle Paul, And Jesus is speaking to you and I. Hello? Amen? Just as he said to the Apostle Paul in verse number 16, he said, but rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared unto you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness of both those things which thou hast seen, and of the things in the which I will appear unto thee. Deliver thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. For what reason? To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance amongst them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Amen? God's called us to reach the world with the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. We're on a common course. We have the extended hands. Amen. We're a ministry that a vision is to reach the lost at any cost. Hallelujah. That God cares about everyone. It doesn't matter where they are, no matter what they're doing, no matter what addiction they have, it doesn't matter. God's no respecter of persons. God has a plan for every heart. God has a plan for every life. And God, you want you and I to flow in that spirit of freedom that he's given. Amen? Amen. When we come into the room, the atmosphere should change. Amen? The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. It shall quicken your mortal body by the spirit that dwelleth in you. In other words, sometimes I got to be quickened. When it's quickened, it comes from the Greek word zoupoio. I've got to be made alive. In other words, I can't walk around as a dead man with all negativity and expect to change something. When I come into a room, positivity comes into the room. Amen. There's a positive mindset. Amen. And that changes the atmosphere because we live in a very negative world. Have you been to a doctor yet lately? Have you been to look at the different reports on TV, on the news? There's nothing positive that people hear when they listen. Everything is negative. But I'm telling you something, I got some good news. Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive in me, and Jesus is alive in you, and we are world changers. Come on, I want to hear a bigger hallelujah than that. Can y'all get as loud as me for a minute? Hey, I want all the soft-spoken people in the room to say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I want all the loud people to say it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You know what? The devil hates it when you say amen and hallelujah. Amen. Amen means so be it. Hallelujah is just saying, all right, Lord, I'm with you. Hallelujah. I'm with you, Lord. I'm listening to you. I'm hearing what you're saying to me today. I hear what you're saying, Lord. I hear your grace. You gave me gifts, and you called me for a common purpose, and that you're not going to change your mind concerning me. I've got to change my mind concerning you. I got to trust and believe you at your word. Amen. And first, amen. And 1 John chapter 1. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. That sounded like a donkey back there, John. Hee-haw. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Love you, John. 1 John 1. Verse number 3, he says, for the life was manifested. No, wait a minute. Excuse me. Verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write unto you, that your joy might be filled. Amen. Amen. In other words, God doesn't call us to an island to ourselves. John the Revelator was on an island so he could speak to him, and he didn't call him to be solo. We're a body. We're in fellowship. We're in unity together. And as we're operating and moving in the gifts of the Spirit and the body of Christ, then all of a sudden things start manifesting. And all of a sudden, signs and wonders and miracles begin to take place. In other words, God has something in you that someone else needs. Amen? You know what? I need what you have. Hello? I need you. You know, sometimes you say, well, Pastor, we need you. We need your help. We need your prayer. No. I need you. I need your faith. I need your gifts. Amen. I need your gifts so I can be effective for the kingdom of God. Amen. And everyone is important. And everyone is valuable. And no one is more important than anyone else. In other words, sometimes we think that the spoken gifts or these gifts that are out here where they're seen are more important, but they're not. There's more important gifts that take place behind the scenes so that we can be in the public to do it. It takes them all working together for the same cause so that we have a positive effect for the kingdom of God. Amen. So in closing, everybody say amen. In Psalms 34, in closing today, what the Lord is saying to us, and one of the things he instructed me, he says in verse number 11, the psalmist reads this, he says, come, ye children, and hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. God doesn't want us to be afraid of him, but I reverence him as a pure and holy God. And reverence I have honored to him. I'm honoring him and I'm honoring his word. Because God is God, and if he spoke the word, it's for my benefit. It's for my well-being. It's for my benefit, church. Sometimes the devil wants to twist the word of God and make you think that God wants to beat you up, or he wants to hurt you in some way. But Jesus gave us his word to bring us life and the abundance thereof. He says in verse 12, what man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? He said, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. You know, you find whatever you are pursuing. Hello? If you're looking for love in all the wrong places, you're going to find all the wrong things. Recognize that God's love is pure. It's undefiled. He loves us no matter what we've done, no matter where we've been. He loves us so much to come and help us to be transformed. I love God because he loved me where he found me, but he loved me so much he didn't leave me there. And he loves you so much right where you're at, but he loves you so much, he doesn't want to leave you where you're at because he has far more for you than you could even expect. He says, the plans I think towards you are for good and not for evil, to give you a hope and to give you an expected end. So whatever the devil lies to you, and he makes you think that you have no future, he's a liar and the father of all lies. Because what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, he paid for it, he purchased you and I, and when he said it was finished, it's done, It's complete. It's up to you and I to enter into that finished work and receive by faith what he's already done. He said, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. When you get to that thing and say, Pastor, the Lord just isn't hearing me. I don't understand why he doesn't do this, and I don't understand why he doesn't do that. In the spectrum of the whole world, God sees the beginning to the end. And some of these things that we're asking for and praying for would bring our demise. Hello? In other words, what the Father wants you and I to do is he wants us to seek his will. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not my will. I have to lay my will down at the cross of Calvary and receive his and follow his will. So in closing, we find today that, hey, we've got the gospel force, the power of the gospel to be saved. I like it, the God force. You think gravitational pull is strong? God created gravity. Hello? Hello? Amen. I don't know. I would rather be drawn by the one that created the gravity than the gravity. Why am I saying the gravity? Because of the gravity of this world and the things of this world will try to draw you into it. But God says he wants you to put your hope and trust in the creator of the gravity, not in the gravity itself. And he says he has poured out his grace towards you and I. He's bestowed every one of us with gifts. And that we're in this together. There's a guild. We're on a common course. So let's bow our heads and let's give him praise. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, for your word. We're grateful that you sent your word here to accomplish what you sent it to this house today to do.